time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Think back to a time when you made a decision based on some deep sense of this is right or this is wrong. And you acted on that even in spite of what was going on around you. Maybe it was people around you who were encouraging you to do something differently, or maybe it was your own internal place where you said, you know, maybe if I did this, life would be a little easier. You knew it wasn't right, so you did the right thing. Now compare that to the feeling you've had when maybe you did act the way others kind of suggested you act, or maybe you took the easy way out. What you'll notice is the difference in the back end of that, not on the front end. On the front end, it might seem like you did something easy and you got away with it, or you took the hard stance and, you know, now you've got a complicated life. But on the back end, usually when we take the easy way, it's much harder on the back end. And when we take the harder way, the way that we know is right, the way that represents our own moral compass, then we feel better on the backside. It makes life on the backside easier. This is Lee Bockham, and in this Thriveology episode, we're going to talk about something that thrivers naturally do differently. Thrivers naturally act on their conviction. A conviction is when you are basing your actions on your beliefs and your intentions. You're looking at where you think things ought to be. You're looking at your moral compass. And this is the difference between reaction and creation. Reaction always comes from some level of fear. Creation comes from some level of aspiration. When we are presented with options, when we are in those possible places where we can choose two different directions, when we do it based on our concern about what others will think or our concern about what is going to happen with us, our outcome, our own personal outcome, then we're stuck in a reaction place. But when we think about how we can move ourselves to a higher place, or we can help others move to a higher place, we're moving from a place of aspiration. You can think of convictions as what you do when you know it's right to do it, when nobody is looking, and what you do when you know it's right to do when everybody is looking. Sometimes we think about this as only that place where you act on things when you're in privacy, right? When you don't think anybody's going to notice. But there's another layer, and that's when you act when everybody's noticing. When the eyes are on you, how do you choose? When those moments of pressure are on, what we in teen years used to call those peer pressure moments, whether we act on our peer pressure or on our convictions. Now, just to remind you that really peer pressure is an internal place. It has no reality to it. You know, as I learned as a teenager, when I didn't act on peer pressure, nobody kicked me out of the club. Nobody dismissed me from school. I might have been a little bit on the outs, but that was probably at a new layer of respect that I had received. And that's the nature of convictions. When we stand on our convictions, what we end up with is self-respect and respect from others, even if we don't see that on the front side. Convictions are all about how you want to move through the world and create your desired outcome. It's based always on our aspirations and always on moral compasses. When we are understanding of what we want, of where we want to be, and remember we talked about that as we raise our standards to a higher place, and when we are comfortable saying no, when we have set clear boundaries. Also, when we are taking personal responsibility for our lives and we're understanding those thoughts of fear running through our head are really just thoughts, then we're able to clear that out and move forward by acting on our convictions. When we act on our convictions, it may not be getting an outcome we necessarily want, but we know is right. It may not be doing what feels good, but what feels right. But what ends up on the backside is a higher stance for ourselves, more self-respect. What happens when we act on these convictions is we may not get what we want immediately. We may not get that instant moment. And so think about it in terms of many life events. A salesperson who wants that sale so badly that they'll be a little dishonest with either the description or the promise. But on the back side of it, it blows up because they made a short-term decision that created long-term lasting results. Convictions are based on the long-term. And so knowing that you may not make that sale allows you to move forward with respect for yourself and probably even a customer's respect. This comes around in many areas of our lives when we make decisions based on how we want that outcome to represent our moral compass, not how we want to deal with the short-term fears about what others might think about us. So what happens when we act on our convictions? We may not get to the place where we want immediately, but we can still feel good about the choices and actions we've made. But what happens if we act against our convictions? Usually, we end up with two things. We end up with a sense of regret that on the back end, we feel a little less good about where things are. And that comes with also a reduced sense of autonomy. Because we didn't make that decision based on our own sense of autonomy. We based it on something external to us. And so we've let go of a sense of personal responsibility and autonomy that we've allowed something else to create our decisions. And even if we have done that in that private place, some action that nobody else, you at least hope nobody else will find out about, when we do it in a way that's against our own moral compass, we don't feel good about it, and we still have given up that sense of autonomy to something else. So there are some reasons that we choose not to act on our convictions. The first one is a fear. And really, this isn't one of those immediate fears like something bad's going to happen, but it's more about what will people think, and it could be in lots of different levels. What will people think? And you could use that as that kind of that peer pressure moment. What will people think if I make this stance? But when we make it in private, what will people think if they realize that I've goofed up my income and I have to fake it on my taxes? And what will people think if I lose this sale unless I fudge on this contract? And all of these places are based on that external fear of what others will think and what we fear will happen. The second thing is it comes from a lack of awareness. And sometimes this lack of awareness is habitual and it's reactive. We don't even recognize that we're playing outside of our own moral compass. We just know that something doesn't feel right. You know, in our gut, we make a decision, and instead of going, okay, I'm not going to get what I want, but I feel good about that, we have this sense of somehow I violated my own sense. Now, let's be clear. There are people who can constantly act against their convictions and still feel okay. And in our society, we call that psychopaths. They've created new convictions where they get to get whatever they want. Psychopaths and sociopaths believe that the rules don't apply to them. So even though they may have some different level of internal conviction, they're going to go with whatever makes the better move right then. And so their overall conviction is, I get whatever I want at whatever cost I do, no matter what the consequences are for other people. Now, that's a psychopath or a sociopathic way of making a choice. And it shows a shortage of true conviction. So it might be outside of what we would consider to be their conviction, but it's within their conviction that they deserve something else. Notice, though, that for the general population, sometimes we are lured into that decision-making process of getting what I want at the cost of somebody else. And whenever we're playing the game of getting something I want at the cost of somebody else, we are probably outside our levels of conviction. Also, not acting on our conviction is usually a failure of personal responsibility. It's not being able to say, this is my responsibility to choose what's going to happen. It's often based more in a place of, it's not my fault. You know, a frame of it's not my fault allows us some latitude of personal decision in our own minds. Not in reality, but in our own minds. And so whenever we play the game of it's not my fault, we often can justify some action to get to that new place. Also, it's usually a lack of self-clarity, that we are not even understanding what we personally believe. We haven't thought through what are our standards, what do we live up to, what's our moral compass. And because of that, we're lost in this place of being able to try to be a chameleon for those around us. Those who thrive are never chameleons for the groups around them. They are always able to stand on their own place of conviction. They may feel some pressure, but they stand on their place of conviction. Think of the people that we can pull up in our minds from the past who really stood up for what was right. Now, they may have suffered consequences personally, but they knew what was right and they knew what they were going to move towards. So that begins to raise the question of how you move towards acting on conviction. And one of the things that I would say is a measurement of that is when you look at your behavior to ask yourself, does it represent your beliefs or does it devalue someone else? When we're really at the place where we're trying to thrive, rarely are our beliefs about taking someone else down, about devaluing themselves, but it's more about seeing the importance of being for the greater good. And when I talk about for, that's a difference than against something. For is about self-interest and convictions of values versus being against something or someone. And generally speaking, when we decide to move against someone or someone something else, we are outside of our true place of beliefs and more about our own reactions to what's going on around us. But when we're for our interest and convictions and values, then that moves us to a different place. I can always find a place of belief for something in my life rather than having to resort to being against another person or another value. This is about the difference between power and value. Whenever we lose track and we're always going for the power grab, it's rarely going to move us towards our moral compass rather than when we focus on our true internal place of value, what we place value on and importance. So as we think about those convictions, it's what would you do when no one is looking? And if that place gives you a dangerous feel in your gut, you're probably outside of that moral place of convictions. If you say, what would I do when everyone is looking and you feel a little bit uncomfortable, that you feel that pressure there, you also are likely outside of your own place of convictions and your own place of a belief. There is a difference between convictions and certainty. And this is really when we look at our behavior. Whenever I feel like I am absolutely right and it comes from an adrenaline place, the more adrenaline we have in our system, the more right we will believe we are versus a belief that our behavior represents a deeper value. That's our convictions. Then we are aware of why we can get pulled into those places of acting against our convictions. Certainty comes when we have adrenaline. But when we can question why we're doing something, it comes from a place of conviction. So our conviction comes from a belief that our behavior represents our deeper values. And when we have a certainty over the behavior of its right versus the certainty of ourselves, which is I'm right. Whenever we're caught by the I'm right virus, we're likely to be at a place of reaction. And when we believe that we're doing something because I'm right, we are likely to be focusing on power. When we focus on it's right, this action is right, it is right that I do this, then we're moving from a place of value and of convictions. My challenge to you is to judge your behavior by how it feels. When at the end of it, if you can project forward and think about what it will be like when it's over, how would it be? Now, thrivers more and more act on conviction. But that doesn't mean that any of us are above being pulled down by a place of power or a place of reaction. So the task of life is not to be 100% always acting on our aspirations and our beliefs and our moral compass, but to be acting on it more and more and understanding more and more that when we are pulled into our reactive place, that we're probably pulled away from our moral compass. When we act on conviction, we're acting on our values that we have in place because we know that it's right. Whenever you're lured into believing I'm right, you're likely to be being pulled in to the adrenaline and to the belief of those around you and to the conviction that it's about the power and what you get out of it rather than the conviction of your moral compass. Choose your actions based on the moral compass, knowing that the task here is to become more and more responsible for our own lives, understanding that our standards can be raised higher and higher with stronger and stronger boundaries, because when we're haunted by those thoughts about what will others believe, they are, in the end, simply thoughts. This is Lee Balcom wishing you a thriving life.
You've been listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y. It's your life. Time to live it.